If you ask Nathaniel, my youngest son, what he wants to be when he grows up, he will tell you he wants to be a paleontologist. At every opportunity, he will draw dinosaurs, pick up a book about dinosaurs, or watch a documentary about dinosaurs, about how the fossils are located and examined and excavated, how the shape and the size and the form of the dinosaur can be extrapolated from the bones that they have found. When you look at the different dinosaurs down through the different ages and the eras that they are named under, it is interesting. The ages of the dinosaurs are not named according to the dinosaurs. They are named according to the geology of the stone, of the earth. So the Jurassic dinosaurs are actually named after the Jurassic stone era, the stone that's laid down in the Jurassic age. The earliest period is the Precambrian period. In the Precambrian period, the earliest records of life on this planet are sea worms and algae. The Precambrian era is followed then by the Cambrian era. And the fossil records at this time show us that the life on this planet included trilobites up to about 2 foot long, corals, shellfish, segmented worms, and red and green algae. The Triassic period have what we would consider dinosaurs in the fossil record. There was a small 18-inch meat-eating dinosaur with a long tail weighing in at a couple of pounds. In the sea, there now were plesiosaurs, ichthyosaurs, and the Chonosaurus, measuring 50 foot and weighing in at about 30 tons. At the end of this period, there was an event known as the Permian and Triassic extinction, where about two-thirds of all land-dwelling life and 95% of sea life was wiped out. The Jurassic period followed. Now, this is the period that most people associate with dinosaurs. In this period, life on the Earth included the sauropods, the brachiosaurs, Diplodocus, the huge plant-eating dinosaurs we know, and meat-eaters like Megalosaurus and Allosaurus, which were both small versions of T-Rex. In the sea, pliosaurs like Lipleurodon, which was one of the most deadly creatures ever to have swam in the seas, lived. While in the sky, pterosaurs like Pterodactylus and Pterodon flew. Here, the dinosaurs were the bewildering array of armoured, raptor-clawed, thick-skulled, long-toothed creatures. On the land, Triceratops, T-Rex, Spinosaurus ruled. Spinosaurus, a creature weighing in at 23 tons, 18 metres long, bigger than the T-Rex by 5 or 6 metres. The world was ferocious. Life was there was deadly. So what do dinosaurs have to do with the Day of Atonement? Way before the earth was created, Lucifer was created. One of the three cherubs mentioned in the Bible, super archangel with huge power and beauty. The pinnacle at that time of God's creation, invisible, immortal, and extremely intelligent. And he held a very high rank in God's government. He was one of the two majestic cherubs whose wings had overspread the very throne of the supreme creator in heaven. After the physical universe was created, God's role and purpose for Lucifer was to administer God's laws and government on this planet and to prepare this world for man to live in. When Lucifer was first placed on this earth, with the angels under him, God's government was administered on this earth until vanity puffed him up and iniquity was found in him and corrupted him into covetousness, envy, and rebellion. He became competitive in everything, and he wanted to take over the universe rather than carry out the very important job that he and the angels under him had been entrusted with. After Lucifer had been thrown back down to this world, he became Satan, and the angels that followed him became demons. At what point within Earth's history this occurred, it is unknown. But it is interesting when you look at the fossil records that the early evidence of life on this world would not appear to be hostile towards mankind. But the later and later down the fossil record you go, everything becomes more and more hostile towards man living on this earth. Whether it is a 100-foot, 90-ton, plant-eating Argentinosaurus, which would have trampled us underfoot without even thinking about us, or the T-Rex meat-eating killing machine, and just about via everything else in between. Adam had the opportunity to follow God's way of life by obeying God, but he failed. Had he obeyed, his obedience would have qualified him to replace Satan. But in Genesis 3:6, Adam voted with his feet to follow Satan, the ruler of this world, and the ruler who is still on his throne at this end time. Since then, Satan has been continually looking for ways to make life on this planet impossible for mankind, the future children of God. Whether it is continual wars down through the ages, which are prophesied to end very shortly in total annihilation, except for the elect's sake, when God steps in and sends Christ back to this earth, or whether it is the very food that we eat and the medicine that we, in quote, use, that makes us sick. Everything man does under Satan's influence, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, leads to death. Satan's way of life has been opposed to, and with the single objective of trying to beat God. But also, on the flip side, look at just how patient God is. His plan of creating a family is so important that he is willing to patiently wait eons until the right time to ensure that his children have the opportunity to become very God beings, sons and daughters of his. In this world of uncertainty in every aspect of life, along with the associated pain and suffering, one of the greatest blessings that we have is the knowledge of the plan of God, the reassurance that God is in charge and not the adversary, Satan, the fact that Satan cannot win. Please just turn to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, and just starting in verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest parts of the pit. Those that see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the creature who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Today represents the day that Satan will be bound, that he will no longer deceive the nations. This is the time when we will look on Satan and say, is this the being that made the earth tremble? Soon, very soon, Satan will be bound and removed from his throne as God of this earth, and when the kingdom and government of God will be put into force throughout this world without any challenge. Satan will be restrained by Christ, and even though Satan does not want to be bound, even though he is still deceived into believing that he will win, he has to obey Christ, with no exception. In the Plain Truth article in January 79 edition, the article called Supernatural Forces on a Collision Course, What Now?, Mr. Armstrong says, understand this, once and for all, Satan cannot do a thing except for what God allows him to do. Notice this in the book of Job. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Eternal, and Satan came among them. Job 1:6. Satan contended against God's called, Job. Satan wanted permission from God to destroy all of Job's possessed. And the Eternal said to Satan, behold, all that he hath in thy power, only upon him put not thy hand. That's in Job 1:12. Satan can do no more than God allows. There is no contest going on between God and Satan. Please turn with me to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And starting in verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. There will be no battle when the angel comes with the key to the bottomless pit and Satan is restrained. There will be no resistance, no running and trying to evade his restraint and imprisonment. Satan will have to go to the bottomless pit without a fight, without any opposition, because he has to do exactly what God says. Today is the Day of Atonement, described as an annual Sabbath, a statute forever in Leviticus 26. And pictures the day when Satan will be bound and restrained from destroying, from corrupting, and from deceiving the nations and this planet. The creation, moving forwards, will be there to benefit mankind, not to destroy mankind. The creation, moving forwards, will not include dinosaurs or creatures that make it impossible for mankind to live. The animals that will be there are the ones that we see today, but even they will have their nature changed back to how God originally designed them prior to Adam's decision to reject God's way of life. This day is the second day of the third holy day season, and as we are commanded to take up an offering on this day according to the blessings that we have been given. This world has very limited knowledge of Satan, let alone the future restraining of him. So let's turn in closing to Deuteronomy 16:16, and we will read in here the fact that we do and must take up an offering. Deuteronomy 16:16. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given to you. So while the offering is being taken up, we will now have some offering music, which is Psalm 119, Great Eternal Lord, Forever is Your Word, and it will be sung by Mrs. Sylvia Duke.